You are listening to Law and Gospel on this March the 14th in the year of our Lord 2018. It is an Insight Wednesday. And we're going to be, first of all, responding to two emails we received about witnessing. And I'm also going to reveal something of my life that a lot of you are unaware of as to what I am doing these days. I'm Tom Baker, and I'm all by myself today. We're going to start off with an email from Stephen. You've spent a few sessions explaining that love for the other person is not our primary goal when preaching the gospel. I agree love for God is our primary purpose, but I would also say we are showing tough love to others. True, most of people will not appreciate such tough love. Our love is intended to bring lost sheep to our great shepherd Jesus. Our love for others is not superficial love that meets the desires of their flesh. Instead, our love is intended to save their souls. Now, Stephen has another question. We'll hold off on that for a moment. But a lot of times I recognize that I'm not as clear as I had hoped I would have been. Stephen begins by saying that I've spent a few sessions explaining that love for the other person is not our primary goal when preaching the law and gospel. Let me say a few things about that. It is not that we don't have love for the other person. What I was saying is that our goal ought not be that the person realizes we love them. That's quite a different thing. I don't think Jesus ever witnessed either the law or the gospel without loving a person. But many a time, they did not think he loved them because of what he said. Jesus' message would have been quite different. Remember what he says to the Pharisees, the unbelievers? You are liars like your father Satan. I'm sure in their meeting afterwards, nobody said, boy, did you see how much he loved us? No. In fact, I can't ever remember preaching the law where somebody says, well, that really shows how much you care for us. Now, when they realize that the law is the biblical law of God, then they can begin to appreciate that we're warning them. But we need to realize that I'm sure Peter, when Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, Peter didn't say to the rest of the disciples, boy, did you see? He really loves me. No, he was really ashamed. And maybe he didn't even realize. Well, he didn't realize a lot of things. You're going to deny me three times. No, I'll never deny you. And then the rooster crowed and Peter realized he had denied Jesus three times. So the point I was making last week in witnessing, we would have a different message than Christianity if our goal was to make sure that the person knew we loved them. We could never really preach the law as stern as it is. Because a proper preaching of the law, look what happened to Jesus. They crucified him. Who are you to say, you carpenter from Nazareth, that tax collectors and prostitutes will enter into the kingdom of God before us? No. Just read the Sermon on the Mount. The tremendous amount of law as Jesus broke down the commandments, not just as deeds, but also as words and thoughts. Nobody was exempt from the terrors of the law. So that's the first point I want to make. I agree that when we witness, love for God is our primary purpose. But I would also say that love for others is our primary purpose. Now, we can witness in an unloving way. I remember when I first got on KFUO, back when we were at the seminary, Mark Smith and I were on after a Bible study by a pastor who made the point, and he was a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastor, that said, even when we baptize an infant, we can't be sure they receive faith, because that is really a decision up to God. And both of us began the program by saying that was false teaching. Now, I was criticized by the individual running the station, and I was properly criticized because when a fellow Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastor says something that's wrong, I should not be using the radio broadcast to put them down. There's a process we have in the Lutheran Church where I first go to talk to them to make sure I understood properly what he had to say. And then we go from there. So, yes, you can witness in an unloving manner, which kind of leads to the second question that Stephen had. How do we preach the law and gospel without sounding or being judgmental? And then he has this quote, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged." Well, here is very helpful to understand the original languages. There's two kinds of judgments that are spoken of in the Bible. The one is when you say to someone, "I see your sin, and therefore I'm making a judgment that you are going to hell." That's what that verse is talking about. "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged." In other words, the only way we can judge is on the basis of a person's works. And if you ever say, "Well, that is a sin that deserves eternal hell," that's the kind of judgment we're not permitted to do. I've given this analogy a lot of times. In a courtroom, you have a jury and you have a judge. What does a jury do? The jury decides guilt or innocence. So let's say they decide guilt. What does the judge do? The judge imposes the sentence, either a fine or maybe time in jail or something like that. The Bible allows us to be juries. The Bible does not allow us to be a judge. So a proper judgment is to say to someone, "Well, guess what? You have sinned on the basis of God's word." If we were not able to judge people as sinning, we could never excommunicate. Because what's excommunication? Excommunication is done on the basis of two things. Number one, the person is doing a sin, but that's not sufficient to excommunicate. The second part must also be there. They are unrepentant concerning that sin. So let's say they're living together before marriage, committing fornication, and they say, "No, the Holy Spirit said I can do that. I want to make sure that this is the right person for me, and so we want to test it out ahead of time." No. You can use all the excuses you want. The fact of the matter is, living together outside of marriage is a sin that deserves excommunication in order to wake a person up so that they do not lose their eternal salvation. So, when it says we can't judge, that means you can't be a judge. You can't say, "Well, you've got such a big sin, you're going to hell." Because then all of your sins would deserve eternal damnation. But you can judge whether a person is sinning or not. That's why it often took a couple of times up to 2 years before excommunication would go through, because we would meet with a person, make sure they were aware it was a sin, and then we had to be aware that they were unrepentant of it. It takes time, but time is what we have in order to make such a judgment. So in regard to Stephen, the point I was making is My goal is not to get a person to know that I love them when I witness to them, because then I would never, hardly ever, preach the law to them, because that's never taken properly. In fact, even Stephen said, most people will not appreciate tough love. And if you want to call preaching the law tough love, that's not bad, because it is love on our part, because we want to save a person from eternal damnation. And the second point is, judge not means don't say a person is going to hell because of their sin, because then you'd be going to hell too, because you're a sinner. But you certainly can judge as to whether or not they have a sin. Also, during the week, in the emails I received, I got one from Ralph. And it kind of fits in pretty well with what Stephen had to say. I have a question. In talking to a friend or stranger, and you don't know what they believe, what would be a few ways to witness about Jesus to them? Now, that's really interesting. How do we witness to people? By the way, I got Ralph's phone number, so I phoned him, and we had a great conversation. I said to him, well, it depends on the situation. For example, I am now aware of the fact from my listeners that there are certain places they work at where they are not permitted to witness. Now, can you imagine you're at in an office where you're selling machinery, and you get up at your desk and you start preaching Christ and Him crucified? That's not going to be acceptable. However, I did say, perhaps you'll go to lunch with these people and then maybe be able to talk to them. That would be fine. I kind of followed former President Al Berry, who would often talk about he flew a lot. And at that time, I was flying quite a bit also, going to various cities and doing seminars and preaching on a plane. I would get there. And we would attempt to maybe start a conversation with the person sitting beside us. Now, I've never been on a train, and the few times on a bus, the persons sometimes were sleeping. But the fact of the matter is, because planes are so expensive, I now pretty well drive everywhere. Drove to Saskatchewan and other places rather than take a plane. Now, I never really, as a pastor, had a problem with witnessing. I was a pastor. If there wasn't a phone call from a member about some concern or whatever, we would, when I first got to my first congregation, and I was with Pastor Peter Kurowski, he became my co-pastor, we were putting together a pictorial directory. We would meet with the families ahead of time. About 15 minutes before they took their picture. And we would give them a sheet. And on the sheet were, these are the times that you would call a pastor. Well, when do you call your pastor? Number one was when you get arrested. And I'm not talking about going over the speed limit. I'm talking about arrests where you might end up with some jail time or something pretty serious. And then there were all kinds. When you go to the hospital, when the wife becomes pregnant, we need to know that at the beginning so we can start praying right away. And there were 20 areas, and a lot of people said, we just didn't realize that we could phone you or contact you in some of these areas. Then that's pretty obvious for a pastor to witness, because you got 20 areas that they're calling you on. But when I was at the seminary, I needed some extra money, so I began to drive for a yellow cab. Now, I have to say, my intention was not to do what ended up happening. I would often go into areas that were somewhat dangerous, because yellow cab that I had, we had phone calls to us to pick up people. And a lot of times I pick up maybe a mother with three or four children, And we would start talking, and I say, yes, I'm going to be a pastor, and she'd be asking about the religion. And it wasn't at all unusual that I would turn off the meter. And when we got to the location, and maybe talk to her for another 5 or 10 minutes, and tell her where the nearest Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation was that could really help her out if she needed food or she was having a problem with her husband or this sort of thing. Because we have over 100 LCMS congregations in the St. Louis area. It wasn't hard to find one near where these people lived. And I recognize, boy, that's not bad, being able to witness. Now, I do preach on Sundays at various congregations. And during the week, for example, today I'm going to be making a hospital call. But I've got a lot of other kind of free time, except for being here on the radio station. But I have found a new area. Number one, I began it because I do need to make a little extra money to pay off bills. And I should have realized the same thing was going to happen. That happened with the yellow cab. And this is the first time I'm making an announcement of this. But I drive for Lyft and Uber. Lyft and Uber, what are those? Construction companies? No. They're kind of taxis, but they're really quite different. You actually sign up. Let's say you want a Uber to come pick you up. You sign up, you give your credit card, etc. And then what happens when you ask for a ride, Uber over our phones, they tell us this person needs a ride, and they go to a specific Uber driver, whoever's the closest one. That's why you can't ask for the name of a driver because he may not be in your area. So it's a luck of the draw who you get, but most Uber and Lyft drivers are really pretty nice. I met a lot of them. There's a staging area at the airport that we often will sit there and wait for rides from the airport. I have discovered that almost 20% of the passengers end up talking to you and get them on religion. Now, how do I do that? And this is partly in an answer, ways of witnessing. We start talking, I ask them, maybe, who do you work for, this kind of thing. And then they'll sometimes ask me, is this full-time job? I say, no, I'm a pastor. Oh, you're a pastor? What denomination? Well, here we go. And I have a wonderful opportunity of witnessing. In fact, it was becoming so much I was doing that I went and I got from Office Depot 500 business cards that talk about KFUO, how to get a hold of the program, how to listen to KFUO, and this sort of thing. I believe that almost every week, I'm probably adding at least 5 more passengers listening to KFUO. Now, as I said, only about 20% of the people talk to me about religion. A lot of times you'll have 2 people get in the back. I have a vehicle where I can carry 6 passengers, and they'll just be talking to themselves and never address me at all. And so nothing happens there. But recently, I had 6 people that I had picked up and found them very interesting. They were saying, oh, you do this all the time? I say, no, I'm a pastor. And boy, did we have a wonderful conversation. Everybody was telling me what they believed in, and I was telling them the difference between Lutheranism and Roman Catholicism, etc. In fact, I do believe that the one email I wrote today starts this way. Hi, Pastor Baker. I'm a new listener to KFUO, and I'm really enjoying your program, Law and Gospel. And I believe that was somebody that I had picked up and given my business card to. So, I have to say that what I have found, especially when I'm talking to unbelievers and atheists, that I agree with them. You agree with an atheist? Yes. In fact, I talked not long ago about a 45-minute conversation I had when I came into the bar with an atheist and a homosexual, and we had just a wonderful conversation. And the one thing about with the atheists, guess what I discovered? I don't believe in the God that he doesn't believe in either. See, this is one of my techniques. I say, well, I'm a Lutheran pastor. Why don't you believe in the God I believe in? And every time they explain why they don't believe in that God, it never is about the true God. It's always some form of legalism. Well, I don't think any God should tell me, you know, what I have to do in order to get to heaven. I said, you know, I agree with that. You agree with that? In other words, in asking about witnessing, sometimes you may not be able to talk to your coworkers because it's against the rules of the office, but you'll go to lunch with them. And then you might just start the conversation by saying, boy, I was having some problems, and the pastor in his sermon really helped me out. And they may ask, oh, what did he have to say? I am really convinced that the reason there are so many nuns, though those are people who belong to none of a denomination, N-O-N-E-S, is because the God they're hearing about in their churches is not the God of the Bible. I would not be a Baptist because there's no way I'm not going to baptize infants. I would not be a Roman Catholic because there's no way I would believe in purgatory and have to pray to Jesus through Mary. I would not be a Calvinist and not believe that it is truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that these are not Christians. Yes, they're Christians, but boy, they don't have the full message. And I am convinced with the nuns that I have met, they have a totally wrong view of the God we believe in. That's why I'm Lutheran. That's why we encourage you to listen to KFUO. Because we have the true understanding of God from the scriptures that, yes, it can hurt sometimes when you hear the law, but boy, does it ever comfort when you hear the gospel. So, yes, I'm driving for Lyft and Uber. You know when my favorite time is? It's on Friday nights. I leave around 10 at night. And I work till 4 in the morning. The police love us because we pick up a lot of people who are somewhat inebriated up to 4 in the morning at these bars that stay open that late. And I have some great conversations with them. I've had, like I say, over 300 passenger folks get in my vehicle, and I have not yet had one problem with any of them. One time I had two kind of people who were inebriated and they were arguing about global warming. And they were really going at each other in the back seat, not fighting, but just kind of yelling at each other. And finally one of them said, well, let's see what the driver thinks. Do you believe in global warming? And I said, oh, I'm very strong on that. I believe. And then I put my hand to my ear because I have an earphone in that gives me directions. I said, oh, excuse me, I have to listen to the directions where we're going. And so I never did answer the question. And, I got a pretty good tip, too. Yeah, no money is handled with Uber and Lyft because at each week, I get it on Wednesday, the money appears in your bank that you made during the week. So it's a great opportunity of witnessing. It's kind of an extension of my yellow cab days. I really enjoy it. And I'll probably be using more of it on our programs. For example, I did have a conversation with someone on Joel Osteen. And they really loved the guy until I finished talking to them about him. And tomorrow, Wes Reimnitz is going to share with us parts of Joel Osteen's new book. And we'll see if it divides law and gospel properly. Till tomorrow's Rumination Thursday, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law & Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law & Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law & Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.